Rave Radio. We are coming to you live from ISE 2015 in very chilly Amsterdam, and I'm here with Gary Kay.
Yeah, I wish they'd turn on the heat, Joel.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's not till tomorrow, unfortunately, because today the convention center is still being set up.
That's the noise you hear in the background. It's all the construction. They literally build the booths here. They don't bring them in and pop them up.
That's right, folks. You may hear a pause where we have to wait for a forklift to go by. Our booth is done, but everybody around us is still assembling, so we're getting ready for the show. Gary, speaking of getting ready for the show, you did a tour yesterday. What do you think?
I did. I was impressed. I went to the Microsoft booth. I saw their Surface.
And got thrown out, as I understand.
I did get thrown out because they don't want anybody to see it yet, but I did get some pictures, and I posted those on Twitter yesterday. It's 4K, so it's everything that Smart has had for years, and it's everything that the InFocus Mondo Pad has. It's everything that's, that Sharp's had with their interactive, Epson's had with their interactive projection systems. Except it's 4K, and that's the one thing that none of them have, is that this is 4K multi-touch. And
does it have windowing built in? Can you put like four 1080 sources into it?
You can put four 1080 sources into it, so it has that full collaboration like the click share. And
can you size them, or is it a quad split?
They didn't show me that yet, so I honestly don't know if you can size them. That's a good question. But it's both. It takes them both in as hardware sources like HDMI, as well as wireless. You can... they say they're compatible with iOS and Android and Windows. So that's going to be interesting. There's a lot of people that are kind of hovered around that booth, even though they're not open. Another thing I saw yesterday was NEC's 4K displays. Phenomenal. They're phenomenal. They're going to have a huge hit there with their flat screens.
Course, how big?
I think the largest size they have is 90 inches. So,
man, that 90-inch category. I mean, I run a little integration company as my day job. And that 90-inch category has gone crazy, especially I think Sharp kind of broke some ground with it. But that 90-inch size is taking over the mid-level conference room.
Yeah, I mean, even that, the Surface Hub from Microsoft at 84 inches, that's going to be put into a lot of small conference rooms and boardrooms. And then, of course, when you get into 90-inch and larger, now you're talking about literally replacing a projector in virtually every installation of a meeting room.
Right. I mean, and the whole 4K aspect has...
bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, bang, bang, bang.
We are in here. Wait, we brought this on ourselves. We're doing a podcast
We're trying to record while they're still building booths. So anyway, folks, you're going to have to put up with it. But that whole size, I mean, the 4K thing with the multi-windows, I wonder how much viability it has down in the 55-inch range.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think when you're that size... I mean, it would literally have to be a huddle room, really a small room.
Yeah, it'd be on top of it.
And I don't think you're going to do four windows in something like that.
Right.
I don't think there's a real application. I think it's more the larger sizes. And when you get into larger sizes, there's a value in having 4K because now you get four native HD images, and you're not taking 1080 and putting four native 640 images on there, which is like what you're doing with most of these collaboration systems.
Does the Surface Hub have wireless?
It does have wireless and wired. So you have HDMI. And, of course, you have wireless capabilities, and you can send from Android devices, supposedly iOS devices, Windows devices. You know, supposedly, by the way, we went by the Barco booth yesterday, and no one will comment on this, but they're certainly doing an update to ClickShare. Although they won't tell us everything about the update, there's a lot of people speculating that they might have 4K resolution in a future version of this. I don't know if they'll show it here at ISE, but they're certainly showing some big improvements with audio, syncing of audio. And also some improvements with the user interface. But that product's been pretty hot. You put a lot of those in.
Oh, hot. I put a lot of them in. And I've been surprised by it in a lot of ways. One of the things, when it first came out, I mean, I was a huge fan. I thought it was the gutsiest exhibit they ever did when they put a whole bunch of them in meeting rooms at Infocom and just let anybody use them without instructions.
Yep.
That was cool. Right. That was really gutsy
People
marketing
like
move.
That button, as you've said to me before.
That's it. You know, I mean, it's funny because I thought once, like, Christy Brio, those kind of things came out that were software for the laptops, right? That those would become more popular because they didn't need the buttons. People love those buttons.
Yeah, and it makes it seem easier to use. You plug it in, hit a button, and boom, it appears, and it's almost like magic to them because they don't have to do a whole lot of work to get it to work. And people in our industry don't really like software. They really don't like software.
And they don't think of it as software, even though it installs its software every time you plug it in.
Right. Yeah,
right?
So they don't, since they're not having to install the software, they don't look at it that
way. But their programmers were really clever when they built the software and those buttons. You can pull one out. It doesn't cause an error. It doesn't say it had to be ejected first or anything like that.
Right.
And the software disappears when you pull it out.
Right.
So it actually gets around. Like, I have clients that couldn't use the software-based wireless because they're not allowed to install those kind of utilities on their laptops.
Yeah.
And they're buying Barco like crazy.
And they don't realize they're installing software on their laptop. Speaking of projector manufacturers, went by the Christie booth. We're going to shoot this afternoon around 5:30, 6 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to do a pre-show tour, and we're going to get all the new products debuted to us at ISE that Christie will have. And that's going to include new 4K displays. And, of course, they're also going to show us their new micro LED-based micro tiles.
Now, that I'm dying to see. I was in here playing IT manager yesterday when you were looking at it, so I haven't seen them yet. I mean, I've been a big micro tiles fan.
Yeah.
But the new ones look better?
Well,
because micro tiles always look good.
Yeah, I mean, these are brighter and they're LED-based, so they're, right. You know, they're little LEDs. So they're, you know, the resolution-wise, I can't remember exactly what he told me, but I think he said 2.1 millimeter, but they're going to have down to 1.7 millimeter LED-based.
Okay, so it's still a little coarser than micro tiles used to be.
Yeah, definitely. It's not the resolution.
Now, they still have the old micro tiles?
Yes, they still have the rear screen projection micro tiles, but these are LED micro tiles. They're only, you know, 2.5-3 inches thick. So they're like little LED walls in a way, but they're the same size as micro tiles. You put them together like micro tiles, and they automatically configure themselves like micro tiles. So that's the advantage. But, you know, it's more for, you have to be sitting, you know, a decent distance away, just like you do with any LED display. But you know, they're going to have a big show. They always do an impressive 4K demo.
Yeah, they do. They were among my favorites last year. The renderings of the car in 4K were just stunning on their projector. And last year, when they were showing that 4K projector, they were pretty much the only ones with a display that big, that bright.
Right.
So what's this year?
Higher refresh rates. I mean, they're going to go with higher refresh rates. I mean, certainly they showed 60 hertz at Infocom, 120 hertz here. Which just makes everything look better. Speaking of rendering a car, how about rendering on a car? Because you have Panasonic, which actually has a Tesla in their booth, where they've wrapped it in gray, like a gray wrap, so they're going to project on it and show projection mapping.
Folks, I'm going to do a special on this. Wait till you see the video of it. My concern when I saw it was I thought they had taken a Tesla S and painted it flat gray.
Right.
And I was like, what a waste of a car that actually has a secret insane mode.
Yeah.
Have you read about this?
Yes, I have. The
car,
you were telling me about
the family sedan will actually do 0 to 60 in 3 seconds flat, which is supercar performance. But you actually, they were so worried about it getting out with that kind of acceleration that the car is deliberately tamed down in electronics. But there's a secret insane acceleration mode you can program the car to.
And scare the heck out of it.
Yeah. And I have a neighbor with an S, and I want to go back and program his car for insane mode and see what happens.
Well, Panasonic will have an impressive display. A lot of people will want to see this, and we'll shoot video of it, as you said. What about Cisco? I mean, you are a telepresence UC guru. I'm curious because now that Cisco and Polycom and the others have software and cloud based systems, what's left for Pexip?
Well, I mean that's an interesting thing. When Pexip came out, when I talked to Pexip last year, I was very excited about the product. They were the first real HTML5 based software product that I saw come out, which meant you could have clientless participation in a video conference. And that the other thing that Pexip did that is phenomenal, they're scalable, very, very large, right? You can have hundreds of Pexip users at a time on a virtualized server. So they still have some advantages, but they're pricey compared to Cisco and Polycom.
Right.
So, and my question is, I mean, with Cisco, there's a mid-level product that's less expensive than Pexip and is accomplishing pretty much the same thing. And Polycom is the price leader at it, period, with the group systems.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of people competing for that market share now. The interesting thing to me with Microsoft here and their whole new strategy for video conferencing is that the Pexip product, the Polycom product, the Cisco product are all HTML5 based, which means there's only one browser they don't work with, Internet Explorer.
Microsoft, of
right?
course.
And so now I'm even seeing Microsoft employees or friends with Firefox on their desktops.
Yeah.
So what's Microsoft? I mean, is Microsoft going to get out of the internet business? I mean, and get just strictly into cloud, because the browsing business, they got left behind, period.
Yeah, well, they have that Skype for Business thing that I don't know how well that's doing, but
that's a rebranding of an existing product, and how closely it will actually be tied to Skype, we don't know yet.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, Skype is the easiest product that most people use, you know, from a consumer standpoint.
Right.
But certainly in with regard to security issues and corporations, you can't do that. I think Cisco's in a really good position right now with the products that they have, both hardware and cloud-based products, as is probably Polycom as well. Maybe you know, what we might see is more sort of consolidation of that industry. I mean, we were talking about it yesterday. Maybe Cisco ought to consider looking at a company like Lifesize and buying them.
Maybe somebody should, because I haven't seen anything exciting from Lifesize in some time.
Yeah, I mean, and Logitech's been trying to sell the company for a couple of years. So I think Logitech or Lifesize is a easy one to pick off. And, of course, Pexip might be a company that is ripe for an acquisition as well.
Well, I mean, with the Lifesize thing, I mean, and I liked Lifesize hardware when it came out because it was little, it was very consumerish looking. It went well into small huddle rooms and things like that. But the question is, as an acquisition target, if you were Cisco or Polycom, what are you buying, right? Yeah. 323 systems, SIP systems, they've got them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't see anything there that if I were a Cisco, I'd look at Pexip and say, huge scalability. There's somebody I want to buy. I'd look at Lifesize and say, why?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. It will be interesting to kind of watch that industry because it is going through not only a technological revolution, evolution, whatever you want to call it, but also the way people are using those products is different than they used to
totally.
Be. Totally. And so I think, you know, it used to be you'd go into a room and you'd have a video conference. Now is people want to join from whatever device they have. So I think that's going to change things a lot. One of the things that I've noticed on the show floor this year is the beefing up, for lack of a better term, of the home AV presence here. So I think this follows on the heels of Cydia having one of the best shows they've ever had.
That was cool.
So I think that's really shown well for the home AV industry. So you're seeing that reflected here. In fact, we're right on the edge of where the home AV section starts here in Hall 1 in Stand Q100. If you happen to be here at the show, come by. We have a magician here doing magic tricks. We're going to be giving away
playing cards. Oh, is Joel here? The other Joel?
Yeah, the other Joel is here. We're also going to be giving away iPads. So it's definitely worth coming by. Follow us online at ravepubs.com. You know, I know you know that, Joel. Joel's not only a columnist for us, but he's a technical guru for us. He's not only got the booth working technologically, but also he's very innovative in the things that we do here, especially with Rave Radio. I'm excited about the show in general, Joel. I appreciate you leading this podcast this morning and getting people kind of fired up about the show.
Well, I'm looking forward to it myself. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of exciting product, a lot of exciting things going on. And watch it all here at ravepubs.com. We will be posting literally thousands of pieces of material for you to look at from the show.
Yeah, videos and podcasts, and we'll be blogging, and we'll also have – we've already posted, Joel, believe it or not, about 300 news stories of products introduced here at ISC that have been launched prior to the show. And you can see it all at ravepubs.com/ISE2015, or you can just go to ravepubs.com, and a little pop-up will come up allowing you to go to the ISC microsite. We set up a special website specifically for the news – that's going to come from the show, and that's ravepubs.com/ISE2015.
Great. And, Gary, if I don't see you before then, I'll see you at our tour of the Barco booth.
That's right.
Folks, stay tuned, www.ravepubs.com. Thanks for being with us.